Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Being a parent can be really challenging.
Child and Family Resource Network focuses on connecting pregnant parents and those with kids under the age of 5 with free support services to help them on their parenting journey. Everyone deserves someone they can turn to for help with parenting. Visit childandfamilyresourcenetwork.org today.
This show is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network.
Hi, I'm Neve Kavanagh.
And I'm Gerard Carley.
And you're listening to Agony Rants.
Hello, hello.
Oh, historic. That's how I feel right now.
What a week.
I know.
It's been quite a week. There's been a lot happening.
I know. So much going on.
Mainly, I think, in our lives.
Historic for other people, but let's be honest, we have been driving the length and breadth of the world.
Exactly. Doing shows for people that are, you know, very interested.
Yeah.
I can't believe the Queen is dead.
I know. No, actually, you know, it's so funny because over the years you keep waiting for that. And then actually I thought because she saw Boris and Liz, she seemed grand. She looked a bit fragile, I thought. And then there was the purple hand thing. I don't know if you've seen
It was the purple hands and there was like the bloodshot eyes.
Yeah.
I thought she's been at the gin or she's on her last.
And she's fond of it. Like she was fond of a tipple.
I had a pencil case. I was thinking about this. I had a pencil case when I was in my first year.
Okay.
And it was like, it was supposed to look like a wall with graffiti on it. And like one of the things that was written on the wall was coming soon, the king and die. So that's how long we've been anticipating that woman's death.
Probably just about.
Actually, it was probably even before that I had that pencil case.
Yeah, I was going to say they were just about, I'd say.
From my sister.
You inherited.
It was a hand-me-down. And she was younger than me. It was a hand-me-up, essentially.
Did you covet it when she had it?
Oh, I did, yeah.
The king and die.
So tell us, where were you?
Oh gosh,
when you got the news?
Do you know what? I was actually in my car, driving, and actually, just take a second here. What exact day was it? Now that I think about it. No, you're right, actually.
I'll never forget where I was.
No, it was on Thursday. So I remember being surprised because it all seemed to be kicking off. I was driving from Carrickfergus to Tralee, isn't that? It was Thursday, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I should have checked that before I came in. It's a whole...
Was it Thursday? Did I put out the bins?
What the... Clearly the patches are not working. Anyway, so the thing is, I was in the car driving from Carrickfergus to Tralee, which is quite a journey, and quite a lot happened in that time. I dropped my husband to the airport, my husband and my son, because they were going to see Manchester United play. And this is like this is one of these Christmas presents that was bought from, we'll get you a ticket for, you know, my son very kindly bought him a ticket for, because he's a big Man United fan. So very exciting for them. Cost me about 450 quid by the time I sent them off. But actually really exciting. So I dropped them off at the airport in the morning and in Belfast, and then started driving down the road, and it all started kicking off. And I remember texting him saying, is the match going ahead?
Yeah. Did the match go ahead?
Yes, it did.
We were worried about the gig.
Yeah.
Because we had a gig in Chester, and then we had a gig in Liverpool, and then we were in Bristol. Like on the way, we were getting texts going, it won't go ahead. And we were kind of going, well, we're still going because like the hotels are booked. We'll just... Let's just say we're doing it. We arrived at the theatre and it was a Queen's theatre.
Yeah.
And the rules of, it's called Operation, what was it? There was a name
London
on
London Bridge.
It. London Bridge. Operation London Bridge.
No.
And according to those rules, if the Queen died before 4 o'clock, the National Theatre would close. But it doesn't say anything about any other theatres.
No, but I think people just took it as a reason not to do half the stuff.
I know, I really think so. Because, I mean, we did the show and it was a Queen's Theatre and somebody went on stage and read a statement from the theatre.
Oh.
And the thing is, we were told, because when we did our sound check at about 6 o'clock, right?
Yeah.
We were told that if the Queen dies, they have to go on stage and read the statement. But, so we can choose to do the show, we can choose not to do the show. But we had to be aware that if they were notified that of the death of the Queen,
that
they
had to
stop the show and they had to go on stage and then to read the statement.
Not exactly the vibe
not
you
ideal.
Want.
Ideal.
No, in the middle of a comedy segment, maybe not so much.
Well,
yeah.
we were trying to work it out. Like, we reckoned that I was probably pretty safe because I was the first half an hour. But we reckoned that if it was going to happen, it would probably be Joanne that would be interrupted.
Yes, of course.
That we come up with the joke that when it was finished and she was restarting, she'd say, "Oh my God, I can't believe Gerard's dad. He looked so well when he did, so, did his bit." Like, so we reckon that would be the joke that would get her back in.
Okay.
But it turned out then they just read the statements before it and she was already dead.
I mean, I was going
very convenient for us.
To be fair, I was going to Kerry. Nobody was cancelling Anthony down there. As a matter of fact, there wasn't even in the, because we stayed in the Rose Hotel, which was really lovely, but they only have RTE in there or Virgin. That's it. There was no BBC. There was no nothing. You know, if you wanted to see anything, you had to kind of Google it later.
Yeah.
It was like a secondary headline.
I thought what was interesting was the BBC... They were all wearing black and they were all talking in this very somber
very
voice.
Serious.
But they were saying things like, do not speculate. You can't speculate about what's going on. It's wrong to speculate. But all the while, they were speculating wildly.
I read that actually they had to have those black suits on hand for years. They were always had black suits there in case the Queen dies.
No way.
Don't tell me you didn't Google Operation London Bridge.
I didn't.
Oh,
I actually didn't.
The
I just heard about it.
It.
Oh my God.
The world. I watched the video. There was a video on YouTube. It's hilarious. And it's very serious the way they talk about the timeline and what's actually going to happen. You know, it's a very historic moment. But we were talking about it actually and everybody was saying, well, it's the Queen, you know. I said, no, actually, this is very historic because this is quite a pivotal moment for lots of things. You know, for instance,
oh, completely, yeah.
You know, because people have been anticipating how Charlie's going to take over. Oh, obviously I have to be nice to him now. Oh, here, I was driving up the road yesterday and he was coming into Northern Ireland. You know the way he came to Northern Ireland?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I was driving up the road and we're approaching Hillsborough and there was people out of their cars all along the line. And I said, what the hell is wrong with those people? And then I realised the cavalcade went by. I saw his hand. I waved back at him. I think that might probably help.
Did you wave or were you just at the stop beep and come,
no,
come on?
I did the, you know, the royal wave. You're not, only the people who subscribe are seeing the type of wave I'm doing. You know, the actual royal wave where it's kind of more of a twist of the hand.
A twist of the wrist. And did you see he's been a bit cranky?
It's Lusos's mother, for God's sake. I don't care what age you are. Right?
I know, yeah.
And I don't
harsh.
Care what it is. And not only that, he has just lost his mother.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. His speech was beautiful. Whether you like him or not, I think there was real heart in what he said. He clearly intends to be the monarch that people want him to be. They're all going to have opinions on it. And, you know, for a man who's been kind of strong about his convictions for a long time and people have made their own minds up about who he is the whole time and he's never had any time to really prove anything else, I think it'll be very interesting. To be honest, he's like in his 70s, do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
We're all looking at William.
Yes. No, I mean, you're absolutely right. Like, when you get used to a certain amount of treatment.
Oh my God.
And it changed that. I mean, I know that from travelling with you.
I know.
You know, like, you go into a venue and people are like, well, Linda is actually going to close the show. And then all of a sudden they're backhanded across the face. Like, it's what she's expected. It's like, it's what the treatment she's used to.
Do not speak that name in front of me. Yeah. No. I know, it's a funny thing. You know, you just get used to it. As a royal, he would not be expected to do a lot of things. If he suddenly started doing basic things like moving chairs and all that, people would be going, what the hell is the king doing
I
that
know.
For?
I know, yeah, yeah.
You know,
it diminishes the monarchy.
Well, I don't know if it does, but the point is, it would be odd. I think he's damned if he does and damned if he doesn't. He's just lost his ma. And,
I know,
and
it
whatever
is,
else
very
you
sad.
Think about him, he did love his mum and she loved him. And that's the truth. The other thing is that he only lost his dad last year. You know, it's not that long since he lost his
You're
dad.
You're the first person that said that.
Yeah.
I completely forgot about that.
It's a lot. It's a lot to lose in one. And even if they're that age, even if it's a natural thing, it's still, even if you know they're not well, it's a shock. And king or no, doesn't mean they're not going to feel it.
The thing about the monarchy is that all of this stuff gets thrown on you at the worst time in your life.
Oh, it does. Even, and we're only deciding whether we're going to sing what hymn. Do you know what I mean? Or are they going
or
to
who's doing a prayer of the
faithful? And you know, who's going to fall out if they don't do the eulogy? And in between that, now he has to go around and appease all the heads of state. And then he'll be expected to be very controlled and lovely in that manner, but then they'll be raging with him if he doesn't show enough emotion.
I know, yeah, he can't win. What are your thoughts on Meghan Markle? We've never discussed this.
No, we haven't. And I'm not a massive fan.
Go on. Are we seeing a chink in the Niamh Kavanagh
armor? No, I'm not a massive fan. I have no real opinion, whatever. But actually, there's no way that girl didn't know what she was marrying into.
Have you listened to our podcast?
Not even remotely interested.
I listen to the podcast.
Only one podcast I'm interested in listening to.
Ah, Niamh.
And it's Fascinated. That's it, obviously.
Ah.
I don't even listen to ours.
It's interesting about her podcast, right? She had Mariah Carey on.
Mariah?
Talking about being a... Yeah, Mariah Carey. But to say she made that about herself.
Okay.
Like, it's very polished. It's not like our podcast, Niamh.
No,
like...
What are you saying?
Like, Meghan goes in and she re-records the questions. Like, it was so funny because you heard her talking to Mariah normally and then you heard her very breathily asking a very serious question that she was obviously reading and overdubbing to fit the answer that Mariah had given.
You know, she's only starting. We're a year in. And you've been podcasting.
Don't worry,
before.
Meghan, you'll catch up. Yeah. You'll catch up. Apparently it was the number one podcast in the world.
Well, yeah, okay.
But you know what I didn't like, right? Now, I have to say, I like Meghan Markle, but I like her in a way that I'm well aware she wants to be Oprah.
Oh, yeah.
I think she's repositioning herself.
I have actually no problem with Meghan. I'm not overly keen on her, but yeah, so I
you're
don't...
You're walking that back,
maybe. I'm not that sure. No, but to be honest with you, she doesn't affect my life. So I actually don't have... You know, she doesn't. Unless she suddenly rings me up
she's
for an interview.
She's not rapping on your door going, Niamh, will you move that car, please?
No. So I
thought it was a controversial choice to launch a podcast on the 25th anniversary of Diana.
Yeah. No, that's.
I thought that was.
That says a lot about someone, right?
Like, and I thought what was interesting was that all of the people around her were like, Meghan, would you?
She could have done it anytime.
Would you go the following week? It's kind of sad that she married Prince Charles's son.
Right.
And it's like, how has your life changed since? It's like, well, I've got a podcast.
She could have had so much more. Who was there for Meghan or who was there for Mariah?
You're right.
Now, Mariah is, you know, whatever you think about Mariah, she is like beloved.
She is beloved. But you know what I think about Mariah?
What do you think?
Right. These are my thoughts. I think Mariah might be a bit crusty. I think like if Mariah took her shoes off now, you'd be opening a window.
Oh, yeah.
There's something a bit.
Yeah, yeah. I know.
Do you know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean. Yeah. 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 Like, she's not as polished as...
I always think that about her. Like, you know, when you see her and you're like, that's a dry shampoo look. I think that there's a veneer of soul chanteuse. But she, even in that podcast, like talking to whatever her name was, Meghan, she was talking about how like she was wearing the dress that she'd worn the night before because she fell asleep in it. And I was like,
oh my God.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Come on. Get up, have
surely,
a shower.
Surely she has people to put her into clean things. No. At the very least.
Now, Meghan Markle, obviously, because she's quite classy, like she couldn't ask the question we were all asking, which was, Mariah, did you go asleep or did you pass out? ask what the people want to hear,
I know. But here, you know, let's bring it back into the fact that after that, she has to come home now. And they were always scheduled to come to the UK, which is interesting.
Okay.
They were only here because they were here.
Oh, right. Oh, they were here anyway.
Yeah. So in other words, Harry and Meghan, right? They were due to do some sort of press thing here.
For his book?
No, it was not his book. It was for some other thing that they were doing. But they were meant to be here for some charitable things or something they were doing. And so they were anticipating them coming over and then the Queen dies. Like,
I know.
You know.
And the media are really going to try and spin it that, you know, it was the book and the Queen was so upset about the book.
Yeah. Well, the book's like, not out yet. They'd be more upset about the interview your woman had again, bashing them again.
But what about Prince Andrew?
Oh, he's not writing books about it.
Like the book. Like,
he's not writing
books
about it.
She's worried about a book her grandson's writing, but then it's Prince Andrew sitting there in the corner after hawking 12 million quid of the taxpayers' money to pay for, well, we all know what he was.
Let's just leave it there.
Yeah. And then there's Prince William that apparently, allegedly, do you remember he was
I won't believe a word you say against him.
Apparently Prince William
What?
Apparently Prince William likes things that he doesn't get at home.
Okay, so like, are we talking about things that we hang Alleged. Clothes with on a line?
Yeah. I'm astonished that you know about pegging.
I know about pegging. I know it's nothing to do with putting on a line, right? I know about that. There isn't a person in the world who, after that headline came up, didn't go, I wonder what that is. Listen, thank God for Urban Dictionary. We'd be all effect otherwise. You have to keep in touch with what's happening. I won't believe it.
Yeah,
I don't care.
Right, Niamh,
I'll be honest with you, I don't care whether it's true or not, to be honest. Yeah. I don't look at
that,
them.
I don't think that would be something he would get at home. Like Kate Middleton, she's tiny little hips. I didn't show myself at so many funerals.
Oh, did you?
Like, firstly, right, I find it tough to talk to people when they're upset. I never know what to say. Like, I absolutely lose myself. Like, I'm just, I say the most stupid things. Like, absolutely stupid things.
Have you any examples?
Oh, a million. You know the way they always say, like, you know when you see a body?
Uh-huh.
Right, they always go, she looked great. She looked great. She looked very peaceful.
Yeah, no, she's dead.
And I always go, she looked great. Yeah, that's what I'll say. She looked great. She looked great. She looked brilliant. She looked fantastic. And then all of a sudden, it's like, she looked absolutely brilliant now. I've never seen her look better. And I'm just like, Garode, stop. Just like, engage the brain.
The woman's dead.
Because I just, instead of shutting up, I just feel like I'll just keep talking. And if I keep talking, then we won't.
Yeah, but you're not alone there. Oh, we're so all bad. A bit like that now. I'm not going to lie.
So bad. Do you know the worst one? Worst one ever. I'll never forget it as long as I live. I was at a funeral. It was an incredibly sad funeral. It was an awful, tragic funeral, right? And I, in Ireland, right? You know the way they do the removal?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
now,
the one.
Which is, if you're not from Ireland, it's basically, it's like a little ceremony in the church the night before.
So they bring the body to the church, usually.
To the church.
And usually if you're not related to them, that's the time, that's your opportunity to go to a less formal situation.
Yes.
So you're not as committed. You go to this thing, you say a few novenas or whatever, a few prayers, and then you give your condolences. And actually it's a probably easier one than the actual big funeral.
Yeah. And what happens at the end of that is, right, you have to queue up and shake hands with the family, right? Which is just
horrendous.
Awful, right? And do you know what the worst thing in the world that can happen in that queue is? You get stuck behind a hugger.
Oh.
Because what happens is, right, when they're hugging the first one, you know, the first one, oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
And you're standing there waiting to do your, offer your condolences. You're waiting to go and you're like, oh, it's a hugger. And then when they're doing number two, you're stuck face to face, eyeballing number one.
Uh-huh.
And you're waiting for their hug to finish so that you can move on. So you go, I'm very, very sorry.
And you're dead waiting. Air.
Dead air.
If you're anything like me, you have to say something.
And I always say something. I
know,
the wrong thing.
I know.
And I actually, I will never forget it.
Oh,
I actually
my gosh.
Said, any news?
You did not.
I said,
any news?
So if any news. I was just like, and I heard it and I was like, oh God.
God.
I know.
You said any news in a feckin' morning line.
Yeah. Oh my God. I never forgot it. It's one of those things, you know, like where you just, you know, like something happens and then every so often years later, you get this like electric shock.
Oh, I know.
When you're just like cleaning the bathroom. You're like, oh, good God, I said that. I go to funerals lacking information.
Like what?
Like I will go to a funeral and then be like, where's the burial? Where are we going afterwards? Never know what the details are.
Until you get there.
And I swear to God, I remember a couple of years ago, one of my friends, her dad died.
Oh.
And I went to the mass and then I went to three different burials.
Because you didn't know where it was.
I just made the assumption that it was Glasnevin Cemetery and I went and I was like, oh, this must be it. Here's a funeral. And I went, no, it wasn't. But I did all the prayers. But the thing was, you rush up and you're like, that's where it is. So I'm here now, Grant. And then all the people form and you're like at the front and then you're like, Margaret, but you're at the front, so you can't leave.
I was going to say,
the grave behind you,
how do you
can't
extricate
be like,
yourself?
Margaret,
from
actually,
that?
I never liked the woman.
But
I went to three of them in Glasnevin, and then realised that he was getting buried in Dean's Grange.
Oh, so
it wasn't even the right place. We're still in very murky territory.
I know. Actually, do you know, I spent a lot of time singing at funerals when I was young, in school. in secondary school especially, because obviously I was a lovely singer and back in the day doing all the nice songs, and I sang Ave Maria very well, but I kept getting taken out of class to sing at the old funeral, the old nuns' funerals in Cabra. I'll never forget it. I think because they used to say I was very emotional about it all, but actually I'm allergic to incense, so my eyes used to stream.
So you used to sniffle.
Oh my god, it was like that poor child streaming.
She's very connected to the order.
Streaming. I know. I did sing a lot, but actually, you know, ever since then, the funerals I sing at are for friends and family, and they're always quite difficult.
Yeah.
And people always say, "How do you do it?"
Because there's no fee.
No. It's nice for me. I like.
Would you sing at my funeral? What would you sing?
Well, you know, things would be very bad. I'd probably be about 106 by then. So it'll be very, you don't mind a bit of a brat, or do you?
I'll have In Your Eyes.
In the original key.
Original key, please. Original backing track. So we are talking about awkward family events, right? Because
which
is there going to be anything more awkward than the royal funeral?
Who do you think is singing?
Oh, well, Sonia sang "God Save the King" in Ipswich.
Jesus, you'll work Sonia into anything. I swear
saw it on
to
Instagram.
God.
She did a lovely job.
I'm sure she did. I have no doubt she did.
Yeah, I hadn't seen anyone sing "God Save the King," and she sang it.
For that.
God, my mom's very upset about the Queen. She's really upset.
Yeah,
honest to God. Now, she was very upset about Di. She lit a candle for Di.
Yeah,
lit a candle on the first day, but 3 days later,
she was over.
The house was ready for Di to come and lie in state, basically. So what we did is we asked you to get in touch with your awkward family events and how to survive them. Again, lots of people got in touch.
Oh, they really did.
So we've got one here from Tara, and she says, with awkward family events, stay sober and drive home. Pretend you have something on and that you have to leave.
Oh my God.
Or catch COVID. That's what I said on New Year's. That's what I said for New Year's, and then I called it a week later.
Yeah, well, that's karma.
But I do think it's good if you're going to awkward family events. Like, it's always good to have an out and to set that out up.
Yeah, but
immediately.
Look,
I know if I have a family event to go to that I'm not 100% on.
Yeah.
I'll always have a gig. I was like, I have to go.
I can't believe you said that on real.
They don't listen. Like, do you think my family listens to this?
No. So Joanne says, my estranged brother turned up to my other brother's wedding. So that's fair enough. This is the one that's less estranged, probably. Got locked and told my mother he had a child she will never meet. Oh, Jesus. And left the table and proceeded to shag the bridesmaid in the photo booth.
In the photo booth?
I know. Create another child that she'll never meet.
Oh, Jesus.
And not only that, the child will have a photo of its conception. Well, Joanne, that's an interesting...
Claire says, boyfriend's first time meeting my mum was at my granddad's wake and he shouts, enjoy your evening. Getting a phone call that my granny passed away while on a first date with my fella.
Right.
My mother insisted he drive me home in my own car in case I was too upset. Then he had to make his own way home.
Oh, bless.
That's very cute. Though.
That is very cute. And is he still... I wonder if he's still there. I don't know.
Never know.
So Kate says, a woman in my office walked into the wrong wake, realized too late, shook everyone's hand, signed the book and said a prayer in front of the stranger's body while everyone looked on her confused. She committed to that.
You see, yeah.
I totally understand
that.
Double down. I would absolutely do exactly the same thing. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, you're at a burial. I took a rose and everything and threw it in. You're here now, girls. Yeah. Double down. Attention, Agony Rants listeners. I am going to be going on tour later on in the year and early next year with my show Glamour Hammer. And I will be going all around Ireland and the UK. The dates on sale at the moment are Portlaoise, Dundalk, Limerick, which is sold out, Galway, Belfast, Clonakilty, Waterford, Wexford, Sligo, Cork. I'll be at the Everyman in January. My Liberty Hall shows are sold out, but we've just put on at Vicar Street, which is very much not sold out. So,
not just yet.
So come along, we'd love to see you there.
How do I get tickets, Garlic?
You can get tickets, Niamh, by asking me.
I know.
But all of those other people, they can buy them on GarofFarley.com. We have a follow-up, Niamh.
Okay.
Okay. It says, "Dear Niamh and Gerard, I heard on a recent episode that you were looking for follow-ups. Well, ooh, I have one for you. I sent a letter about my partner and his two kids who are being very badly behaved."
I remember that one. Do you remember that
one? Yeah, I do remember that. I can't remember what we said.
Oh, I
know it was fantastic.
I have no doubt.
"Thanks for your advice, as it really did help."
Oh, yeah. Yay.
Fantastic.
Which bit? It was my advice, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'd say so. I think...
Were you setting fire to something?
No, I think you were telling her to... I think your take was to sit them all down and have a conversation and also get the husband on board. And I think mine was slap them. I had a conversation with my partner and told him to grow up and to get his two brats in line, or he knew where the door was.
That sounds more like
actually,
you.
Actually, it sounds more like... That was me. I also brought both of the kids out for dinner with him, and we had a very civilized conversation about rules and boundaries.
So that's my bit.
It turns out that fucking turnip... This letter has a lot of corners. It turns out that fucking turnip he married had been poisoning them against me. Absolute bitch. Mm. The things I could tell them about her, but I won't. Anyway, things are rosy in the garden for now. I'll keep you posted. Thanks, Belle.
Belle, we love you. Thank you so much. And,
interestingly, I couldn't marry this up because I think we've two Belles that write to us.
Oh, right, okay. Just the two?
Yeah, because with the other Belle that wrote in, I think that was talking about working on a sex line.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, so I was trying to, there's two different Belles. So,
wow, okay. Yeah.
Welcome, Belle, too.
Okay. I remember that problem really well, actually. That's a very good resolution.
Yeah, because I think what happened was she was going out with someone that had been married before.
Yeah.
And he had two kids that were basically ruining her weekend. And it was her flat, I think.
Yeah,
wasn't it?
It was her house. And I think what happened was she was going out to try and avoid it. And it was all getting a bit much, I think. And he was like being a bit, what's wrong
with
you?
Yeah, yeah. Because he was
trying to
be super
fair play. Like, well done, Belle.
See, I think she was playing it right from the start. Yeah, going out and leave them to it.
Yeah.
We are stopping to tell these people that we are supportable on Head Stuff Plus.
Are we?
Yes. So we're on the Head Stuff Podcast Network.
Of course we are.
That's where our show is recorded, and that's where our show is
hosted.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And if you would like to support us, you can subscribe to Head Stuff Plus, and that money goes to us. And
yes,
in return, you will get bonus content from us. There's bonus content from us up there.
Yeah.
You'll also get the bonus content from all of the other shows.
Oh, yeah.
And what we're doing is, at the moment, we're putting together a little package.
Oh, we're so excited.
We've been talking about this. We talked about it over our lunch.
I know.
A little two-tier package for supporting the show and mm-hmm. about the things you will get.
Okay, so?
Yeah, that's very exciting. And we'll have news about it soon. You can subscribe on headstuffpodcasts.com and we will be your best friends.
Oh, forever.
And if you would like to visit the podcast studios where we record our show, the podcast studios are taking part in Culture Night this year.
That's
on the
23rd,
on Friday the 23rd.
Of September.
You'll be able to come and you can book to record a podcast.
Oh, yeah, but you need to get in soon because I think they're quite busy.
So. Yes, and there's going to be podcasters here.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anyone special going to be here at some point, Niamh?
Let me think. I may be in.
Niamh may be dropping in.
In the later end of the day. I'm actually hoping to get in for the last couple of hours.
And if you want to hear more about what's going on at the podcast studios on Culture Night, we'll have a little listen to this.
The podcast studios are opening their doors to everyone this Culture Night. Come see the place where your favourite Head Stuff Podcast Network shows are made. Get behind the scenes access, learn about production, and record your very own 5-minute podcast. This is an opportunity not to be missed. Join us Friday the 23rd of September. Register on eventbrite.ie or see the Culture Night website for more details. We look forward to seeing you there.
We have a problem, Gerard.
Go on.
Okay, so this is from Eric. Right?
Bab.
And Eric is from New York, which is very exciting.
Oh, excuse me.
I know. How?
You're worth 10 of our listeners. We've got American listeners.
I know.
Nate, that's where the money is.
Crossover. And I love the fact that he's listened to us and not Oprah or Meghan. Well, maybe
he's
doing
both.
You have
so many options.
I know.
How did you land here?
Okay, I'm getting married just before Christmas to a lovely man. He is the man of my dreams and we are very happy. And my family are mostly happy for us. I have a brother who is quite problematic. He lives with an awful girlfriend who is a troublemaker and hates my parents. Me and my brother have never really got on, and it seems to have been made worse since I came out 5 years ago. I've always wanted to be closer to him, but he has always been quite dismissive. I've always just tried to ignore him and got on with my life. I always assumed we would be friends at some point, but that has never happened. We see each other occasionally in my parents' house, and he either ignores me or he is rude. It always takes me a few days to get over it.
Oh,
yeah, that's sad. My partner doesn't like him. My partner doesn't like my brother one bit.
I'm on your partner's side.
I know. Yeah.
Come on.
Recently, we were talking about the wedding with my parents in their kitchen, and he was rude and walked out. When my boyfriend and I were doing up our invite list, I put my brother down on the table plan, and I was shocked because he said he was surprised I was inviting my brother. I said, of course I was. And we had an argument, which ended up in my partner saying he didn't want my brother at the wedding.
Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, my goodness. I told my mother about this and she was shocked and said I had to invite everyone. My brother and the drunk trash he had chosen to spend his life with included.
Another letter that built to a crescendo.
Okay, what should I do? I feel you're going to have a very strong take on this. I'm a listener from NYC State. I love the show and thank you for all you do. Well, Eric, Garode will no doubt have a very good response.
See, I don't know, I'm very divided on this.
I know.
I'm very divided.
I feel the same.
Because on one hand, I feel that you can have a fractious relationship with a sibling for your whole life.
Yeah.
But you're really putting a stake in the ground when you don't invite them to your wedding.
Yeah, definitely.
And on the other side, why should you invite that prick to his wedding?
Yeah.
Like, your brother seems like he's an absolute tool.
Yeah,
I don't see what is to be gained.
It's not a recent thing either by the looks of it.
Because at first I thought, is it a problem with him that he came out? But he said it was made worse. So this is running years.
Yeah,
it's long running. Well, the only thing I could think of for this, right, was I think you could say to your brother, you could just call him and just say, do you want to come to my wedding? Because I think that could shake him up a bit, right? Because if you say, do you want to come to my wedding? He's immediately going to think, oh, I'm not automatically being invited.
Mm-hmm.
So that might kind of shock him and think, okay, maybe I need to think about this here. Like, do I want to be in a situation where I don't go to my brother's wedding?
Do you honestly think that that brother cares about that?
Well, I don't think he cares about the wedding, but I think he might care about what other people think.
Yeah.
You see, if you don't invite him, and this is always the problem at weddings, right? If your parents think you should invite somebody, if you don't invite them, you're the demon.
Yeah, yeah.
And in that situation, it's going to be very easy for you to be the problem here.
Yeah.
Like, Eric is going to be the problem because, like, you didn't invite your brother and now things have got worse. And if you invited him, maybe it wouldn't have got worse.
Yeah.
But if you say to your brother, do you want to come to my wedding? And if your brother says yes, then you have to say, well, then you need to change your tune, pal.
Yeah.
Because the way you're behaving is completely unacceptable.
Yeah.
And you have to meet my partner and be nice to him. And if he says no, that's your answer.
Yeah. Actually, in a weird way, that's exactly what I would be saying. You extend the invite, brilliantly suggested by Garode on the phone. Originally, I was just saying, you invite him, chances are he's not going to want to come. You know, but... Either way, there's a conversation. But you see your mum and dad, your parents, your mum, sorry, is all you mentioned. You care about her. She cares about you. She cares about her other son, regardless of whether you get on or not. I know, speaking from experience, you want your kids to be getting on. In this circumstance, I don't think it's going to happen, but you need to put it in his court.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And I think as well...
But you need to deal with this beyond the wedding.
But also, what's getting lost here as well is, like, the argument that you had with your partner. Your partner is more than entitled to say, I don't want him at our wedding.
Yeah.
Because what's happening here is, doesn't he say... It always takes me a few days to get over it when he ignores you or
yeah,
or
so your partner's very
he's
cognizant.
Bearing the brunt of this.
Yeah, and also the other thing is he's also aware that maybe on the happiest day of your life, somebody potentially could actually ruin that.
Yeah, if he's just rude to you and it takes you a few days to get over it, like, he could just say something mean on the day and that'll upset you for the whole day. And it that's just not what should happen.
No, it shouldn't happen. This is your day.
And it's and as well as that, it's not just Eric's day.
No.
It's also his partner's
yes,
day.
Yes, no, exactly, like, right. No, I agree 100%. Yeah. But I think there's a lot said in that where it takes a few days for you to get over. So you haven't even resolved how you feel about that in general.
Yeah.
in how he treats it in general. So you need to deal with that actually sooner rather than later in that regard.
Yeah.
And you can do it out of the context of the wedding or in it. It doesn't really matter. The point is you have to deal with what how you feel about it. And if it means that you have to kind of go to him and say, this upsets me. Is this what you want? I think a really frank conversation with your brother is really called for. If he doesn't want to engage in it, well, then that's your answer. That's your answer to everything.
That is your answer to everything.
And the problem is you have to decide how you're going to feel about that too.
And the thing about it is, sometimes what can happen with this situation is if somebody thinks that the door is always open, they'll just keep behaving badly the same way. Your brother behaves really badly because... Yeah. He knows he'll have the opportunity to do it again and there'll be no consequence to anything.
I think you tell people how to treat you all the time.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that you deserve this treatment. What is happening, Eric, is that you're allowing it. Yeah. And I think it's important that you face that head on. But you have to be very steady when you do. It's not through anger you should be doing that. You should be just honest about how you feel.
No, I completely
disagree.
And
you need
that.
To do it. Oh,
no,
really?
I think get angry. Get
angry.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Wreck
Go on
car.
Then.
Do you know what you can take comfort in, Eric, though?
Right.
Eric is by far the favourite child.
Oh, without doubt.
Yeah. And I know that people say that nobody has a favourite child and that, you know, a mother's love is, you know, it's unconditional.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe that for a second.
Okay. Are you the favourite in your house?
No. That's how I know that it exists. I always think, like, to parents who say they don't have a favourite child, I always think, do you have a favourite ring on the hob?
Oh my God.
You absolutely do.
You do.
You just don't think you do. It's front right.
No, it isn't.
Not what? What's your favourite ring on the hob?
Front left, actually.
Are you right-handed or left-handed?
Right.
No.
Depends on the hob that you have, to be fair. Depends where your oven is in your room. Listen, why are we here? Eric doesn't need to know about the oven.
Like, I think that Eric's family, I think, is all operating in this environment that is dictated to by the mood of
one child
who doesn't care how he makes people feel.
No.
And everyone just puts up with it over and over again.
The other thing you need to have a conversation is your mom.
Yeah.
Right. And I'll tell you why, Eric, right? The thing is, mammies, we want our children to be all happy and lovely together, but we have to be honest about they don't always go that way. And you need to be going to her saying, this is what I've done, but this is how I feel about it. And would you really, and ask her the question, would you really be happy? Would you rather have him at the wedding and for me to be unhappy?
I would say the question you ask her is if him and that trash that he's gone out with is coming to my wedding, they're sitting with you.
Yeah.
Are you comfortable sitting with them for the day?
Yeah, yeah.
because that's what you're being asked.
No, they're really serious questions. You know, that's it.
Yeah,
both
totally.
Both of them are serious.
And if she insists on him going, that's the way to do it.
Yeah.
No top table for mommy and daddy.
No, no.
They have to sit with them and they have to put up with them. Yeah. And they have to also keep them in line.
Yeah, no, it is true. I you know what, actually, it is such an important thing. And remember who your new core family is going to be. It's going to be you and your partner.
Yeah.
You know, and so seriously, have that conversation soon, Eric, and we want to know about how it goes.
Yeah, we want to know about it. Like, I really, really think, though, the most important bit is that you don't end up the demon here.
No.
Because you're not the problem.
No, you're not.
Like, your brother's the problem. And I think with your mother insisting that he's there, you're kind of being made to be the pinch point.
Yeah.
Like Eric has been made to be the friction.
Yeah.
So I would say, put that on the brother.
Yeah, you just,
you know,
put it in
his
court.
Do you want to come?
Yeah.
And if he says no, boom, that's the end of it. And
sorted.
It's absolutely over. And when that happens, you have to make it really clear to your mother, I have asked him and he has said no. So what you don't want is a situation of her cajoling, bribing the brother to change his decision.
And we're fine with
made,
that.
The decision's final. We're fine with that.
Yeah. And so should you.
Niamh, I think we did very well.
I think we did well.
Eric, what are our chances of getting an invite?
Oh, yeah. New York.
Yeah, it'd be lovely, wouldn't it? A wedding in New York State.
New York in spring.
Is New York State, isn't that Anna Garten? She's New York State, isn't she?
I love that, yeah.
God, the Hamptons.
In my head, I live a life like that, but that's not actually true.
It's been wonderful to chat to you.
Oh, I know. And it's such a sad week.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Are you going to the funeral?
I don't know if I'd be bothered.
Will you watch?
Like, if I was at home, I'd watch a royal wedding. I'm not sure we'd be bothered with a royal funeral.
Yeah.
I just think there's something really... I always feel that about funerals.
Yeah.
That I always feel there's something a bit grim about watching people grieve. Or at least with a wedding, you're there for the hats. You know, the style. So-and-so looks well. Here comes Eugenie with a satellite on her head.
Yeah, I get that. I get that.
But with a funeral, it's yeah. all just...
And
Camillus, not yeah. into a hanky. Nobody needs it.
No, that's true.
Listen, I think we've helped this week.
Yeah.
Eric, we'd love a follow-up.
Yes,
if you,
we would.
Want to get in touch, agonyrants@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. We'd love to hear about your problems. We'd love to hear about your lives.
Any stories, anything at all.
Yeah. And if get in touch. We're always here. We're able to touch
stuff. Yeah, if there's any topic you'd like to hear us talk about, you know, and stuff like that, we'd be definitely up for
any
that.
Any world events or, yeah. you know, world issues you'd like us to clear up.
Because we're good at that.
Things that just need to be wrapped up once and for all. World hunger, the environment, enough
sorted.
Is enough.
Sorted in an hour.
Chat to you soon.
See you.
Bye.
This show is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network, a hub for the creative and the curious. Shows are produced in association with Head Stuff and the Podcast Studios Dublin. Find out more or become a member at headstuffpodcasts.com.
Being a parent can be really challenging.
Child and Family Resource Network focuses on connecting pregnant parents and those with kids under the age of 5 with free support services to help them on their parenting journey. Everyone deserves someone they can turn to for help with parenting. Visit childandfamilyresourcenetwork.org today.
Heard my little sis is buying a car. You'll need my secret guide.
Gross, no way. I already used Capital One Auto Navigator.
I bet your credit score
wasn't impacted at all, so ha. I got my real rate and monthly payment, had an amazing test drive at the dealership, and made the purchase.
Taking the easy way out. That's so you.
Still not getting it. That's so you. Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/AutoNavigator.